the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Tuesday, January 2nd, 2024. Remember to write that on your checks. I am the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is our first day back to work, let's do the usual Monday march back to work, even though it is Tuesday. Put your back into it, put a smile on your face, and take a couple of Excedrin for that headache you're nursing there, all right? Hope you had a good New Year's and a good New Year's Eve. Did you eat your black-eyed peas? Got to do that. All right, let's get things started the right way with...
The Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. This is a good one. It says, there are some days I practice positive thinking, and other days I'm not positive I am thinking. Oh, yeah. When it comes to thinking, that's about as far as I go.
Most illogical reaction.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast. Here we go.
Twisted history.
Big stuff.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Important.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
See, there you go. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1967, Ronald Reagan, former movie actor and future president of the United States, was sworn in as governor of California. Well, when it comes to resumes, it's hard to surpass the likes of his, right?
Gee.
And it was on this day in 1974, President Nixon signed a bill lowering the maximum U.S. speed limit to 55 miles per hour in order to conserve gasoline during an OPEC embargo, and thus began 21 years of driving hell.
I'm the devil.
Back on Friday, and if I recall correctly, also on Thursday, last week, I warned before I signed off for the weekend that 2024 is going to be a really bad year. And I hate to be a nudge. I'm not doing this for sensationalism. I'm not saying this for purposes of gaining more attention. I'm saying this because I want to warn you. 2024 is going to be a very, very bad year. I think this summer we're going to see riots again in our big cities. I didn't figure this out. This is stuff that I'm hearing on the World Wide Web, stuff that I'm reading, video clips that I'm seeing. And it's all been laid out there for us. All you have to do is you go to a site like protrumpnews.com and read the headlines. Gives you a pretty good idea of what's in store for us in 2024. And why not? I mean, look at the reckless spending this administration has done ever since Joe Biden took office. That was 3 years ago. On the 20th of this month, it'll be 3 years since Joe Biden took office, and look at the damage that man has done. And of course, he's done it at the puppet strings of Barack Obama. This is Barack Obama 2.0. Anybody who didn't believe 2.5 years ago that Barack Obama was orchestrating what's going on now, I guess just didn't want to believe it, maybe? I don't know. But it's very apparent that's what's happening. And it's no more apparent than what's been going on the border. I want to read for you a tweet from Bill Malugin. If you watch Fox News, you're familiar with him. He's the man down there on the border, and he has been during this entire administration. Not a particularly beautiful place to be, but this man is doing a superb job of reporting what's going on. And this is a tweet from December 29th. Let me read it for you. Breaking, CBP sources tell Fox there have now been over 276,000 migrant encounters at the southern border in December, the highest single month ever recorded, breaking the prior record set in September at 269,735, and there are still 3 days of December left. Record is being shattered. This new record number includes over 230,000 Border Patrol apprehensions of illegal immigrants in December, also the highest single month of apprehensions ever recorded for Border Patrol. We are now at over 760,000 migrant encounters since October 1st, making the first quarter of fiscal year 2024 also the highest ever recorded. That's a population size bigger than Seattle in just 3 months. All records being blown out of the water under the Biden administration as the crisis gets worse, not better. Again, that's from Bill Malusian, who's on the scene down there on the Texas border. I think he's stationed mostly around Eagle Pass. But this is just, this goes on and on and on. Better still, you read some of the replies, and here's one from Elon Musk, who just said a three-word reply. This is insane. And then Malusian replied, press secretary, meaning Corinne Jean-Pierre, described the border situation the other day as not unusual. Somebody who calls himself Brick Suit tweeted, over 9 million illegal aliens so far in 3 years under Biden. 9 million. That's more people than the combined population of Wyoming, Vermont, Alaska, North Dakota, South Dakota, Delaware, Rhode Island, Montana, and Maine. It's an invasion. Amen. It is. Culture War tweeted, shut down the border or shut down the government. I'm with Bannon. That's what Bannon's been saying. And he's right. This is nuts. This is not good for anybody. And, might be good for the Democrats. At least this is the way they're playing it. They're rolling the dice, hoping that all of these illegals brought into the country will just find a way to vote illegally and vote Democrat. Insanity at its absolute worst. And one can only wonder how much longer this is going to go on. Well, you know it's going to continue at least for the next year, full year. Because that border's not going to shut down until Donald Trump gets back into the White House. Then he'll shut it down on day one. Remember that one day he said he's going to be a dictator? I think also on that same day he's going to open up the oil fields again. And probably do what he can to shut down the financing of this idiot Ukraine war. Hey, how does this translate to you and me? Okay, let me give you a great example. I went to my neighborhood Walmart Superstore. This was on Saturday. My only source of caffeine is Diet Dr. Pepper. I don't drink coffee. I got off of coffee years ago just because I lost interest in it. I don't care for it. It's too bitter or whatever. I don't care for it. So I started drinking Diet Dr. Pepper several years ago. Prior to the ascension to the White House 3 years ago by Joe Biden, I was buying a six-pack of these 16.9-ounce bottles of Dr. Pepper for $2.50 at my Walmart. $2.50. You got that? $2.50 prior to Biden's ascension to the White House. Saturday, I bought a six-pack for $4.98. $4.98. That's double what I had been paying 3 years ago. Now, similar examples of that kind of inflation are everywhere. Housing, try to buy a car lately, try to finance something. Interest rates are up. Now, granted, interest rates are nowhere near where they were under Jimmy Carter. And God help this civilized society or supposedly civilized society of ours if that ever happens again. I remember an old friend of mine, the late Weaver Morrow, terrific guy. I remember when he and his wife bought a house. This, I think, was in 79. Bought a house way out in the boonies west of Houston. And their interest rate was 17.5%. on their house. And in those days, the creative financing people in the finance industry had come up with this plan called the balloon note, where the first 5 years of your house note, you're only paying on an average of $450 a month. And then on that fifth year, bang, your house note doubled. So by the time Ronald Reagan got into office, he had to deal with the collapses of these savings and loans, who had taken a lot of these loans. Because people just got to that fifth year and they just walked on their house, hauled all their stuff out of there and left, dumped the note, because they couldn't handle doubling the note. Well, what was the rationale behind the balloon note? Well, the rationale was, well, after you've lived in your house for 5 years, certainly you would have gotten raises or a better job, earning more money. I mean, for that matter, you may as well just go to your neighborhood casino and dump your entire life savings into a slot machine. That's the kind of a gamble that is. And it was stupid, but it was being done everywhere because of the 17.5% home loan interest rates. So thank God we're not that bad. And there's a rumor going around that to kind of goose the economy, the interest rates may come down a little bit. Man, I don't know. But then again, we have this influx of all of these illegals. Where are they going to be housed? Because the majority of them right now are being housed at our expense, yours and mine. The taxpayers are picking that up. And that's why my Dr. Pepper has doubled in price. That's one of the reasons, and not just one reason. There are several of them. And that's what makes this scarier still, is the fact that we have multiple reasons why everything that we buy, every service we purchase, every product we purchase, everything that we do, our entertainment, costs so much more now than it did 3 years ago because of the money we're spending. And the money we're spending as a nation is money that isn't even backed by anything. It's not backed by a gold standard. It's backed by promises, how much sunshine they can blow up your backside. That's what it's based on. In other words, it's based on sheer insanity. So my Dr. Pepper has doubled in price. God knows what else has doubled in price. And this is going to continue for 2024 on nothing more than a promise that things are going to get better. Bidenomics is working. Have you been listening to Corinne Jean-Pierre? Bidenomics is working. And the border is secure. Have you been listening to Mayorkas, Alejandro Mayorkas? The border is secure. The border is closed. That man should be impeached for lying the way he has. But he won't be, because the Democrats are in control. And really, if you want to look at things realistically, because we do have rhinos to contend with, both houses, the House and the Senate, are controlled by Democrats at the moment. These are scary times, my friend, and they're not going to get any better in 2024. The entire next 12 months, this month through December 31st, we're still living under the Obama, or what I like to call the O'Biden administration. This is going to continue. Nothing is going to happen. Nothing can happen to turn it around this year. So that's why I submit to you that what we're facing this year is the possibility of a 1929-style stock market crash. Quite possibly a run on the banks, even though your accounts are insured by the FDIC. Really? Well, if our nation's monetary system isn't backed by gold and isn't really backed by much of anything than a bunch of BS from politicians, then how can we believe the FDIC is going to be of any help? If there's a run on the banks, that's it. Your money's gone. Goodbye. And in recent years, the banks, the entire banking system, has taken on a more aggressive stance when it comes to what they can do with our money. And they can do it legally. Laws have been passed. Well, how do these laws get passed? Well, the laws get passed because politicians run for public office. They get donations from banking systems, banking companies, the banking industry, and they get favors returned. See? It's an incredibly corrupt system. And it's going to remain this corrupt all this year, from today through December 31st. We're facing national suicide. Former president and hopefully future president Donald Trump, I love that title, President Donald Trump, ripped Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, for good reason, over a bill that DeWine vetoed. And in expressing his frustration, Trump said, "I'm finished with this stiff." Referring to Mike DeWine as a stiff. All right, so here's what happened. Ohio's governor vetoed the SAFE Act and the Save Women's Sports Act. Now, the SAFE Act bill would have banned gender-affirming care, and the Save Women's Sports Act, of course, would have barred biological men from competing in women's sports. Don't need a special education to understand that concept. Well, here's how CBS News reported it. Ohio's Republican Governor Mike DeWine announced Friday that he has vetoed a bill that would have banned medical practitioners from providing gender-affirming care for transgender minors, saying he believes gender-affirming care is a decision families should make, not the government. Well, the Republican governor said he arrived at his decision to veto House Bill 68, also called the SAFE Act, after listening to physicians and families in a fact-gathering mission. The bill passed both chambers of the Ohio legislature earlier this month, and Friday was the final day DeWine could veto it. The bill also would have blocked transgender student-athletes from playing in girls' and women's sports, both in K-12 schools and in colleges and universities. DeWine said during his announcement, "Were I to sign House Bill 68, or were House Bill 68 to become law, Ohio would be saying that the state, that the government, knows better what is best for a child than the two people who know that child the best, the parents. This is an issue that has people on both sides have great passion. The decisions that parents are making are not easy decisions. You know, they're just not. What we find in life, sadly, is that many times we're making decisions and neither alternative is sort of what we'd want. But we have to make a decision, and I just felt that there's no better one than the parents to make those decisions." Hey, he's got a point. He's got a point, but as is demonstrated in almost every issue of a newspaper you pick up, parents don't always know the best. Good parents do. But what about bad parents? Let's just say you got a couple of parents here from Mill Valley, California, and they fall for every far leftist ideology, and their 12-year-old kid all of a sudden decides she wants to be male, or he wants to be female. And these Mill Valley, California parents who are holdover hippies from the 70s or 80s, just, "Oh yeah, fine, whatever you want to do." I mean, the parents that make me grind my teeth are the ones who claim, "Well, I want to be my child's best friend." You can't be a good parent and be your child's best friend. You've got to pick one. I recommend you pick the good parent. If you want a best friend, go find a best friend somewhere. But you're not going to get a best friend out of your child. Now, maybe after your child grows up and is self-sufficient, yeah, that could happen. But none of my five kids were my best friend when they were growing up. They were something far better. They were kids that I loved deeply, still do, and disciplined them when I had to. They're all five grown up and self-sufficient. They're making their own livings, and they're doing quite well. In fact, I think for the most part, they're doing better than I did. And I'm very proud of that. Because one of these five kids, or maybe all five of them, are going to decide on my nursing home. Oh, I'm not going to do a nursing home. Oh, no. But this is the kind of mentality that a good politician, a good statesman, thinks about. Parents allowing their child to have gender reassignment surgery? I'm sorry, that's child abuse. It just is. So on this point, I have to disagree with Mike DeWine, who otherwise is a very good governor for Ohio. But Donald Trump's right. Now, he endorsed DeWine in the general election, but on this matter, he blasted him, saying he was done with him. That's not good. Trump said he's fallen to the radical left and the bills he vetoed would have stopped child mutilation and prevented men from playing in women's sports. And I think that's a, oh, pardon my chime there. This is one of those statements that I think helps define the path this country must go on. Again, he said, this would have stopped child mutilation and prevented men from playing in women's sports. I mean, look around you. The country has lost its collective mind. We lost our minds, golly, back when we elected Barack Obama. We were warned before that election. We were warned that this man was going to be a problem. He was going to be dangerous. 2008, pivotal year for this country, and not in a good way. I don't imagine this would surprise you a great deal, but America's least favorite member of Congress has been revealed, and it'll no doubt bring a big smile to Donald Trump's face. It probably already has. According to a Monmouth University poll released last week, every member of Congress was underwater in terms of approval ratings. But Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky managed just 6% approval from respondents, which makes sense when you consider that Democrats don't prefer him and he fell out of favor with the Republicans, most of whom are Trump supporters. Yeah, I will never forget the nickname that Rush Limbaugh gave Mitch McConnell, the turtle. Kind of looks like a turtle, doesn't he? I know that's not nice, but hey. Anyhow, the poll found that McConnell had an astoundingly high 60% disapproval rating, with 34% just voicing no opinion at all. And this was according to Fox News. And Fox added, McConnell was the only congressional leader with a net negative approval rating from within his own party. Think about that. And fell far behind his Democrat and Republican colleagues on how they're viewed by the American public. Just 10% of Republicans said they approved of McConnell's job performance, with 41% disapproving, 49% having no opinion. Overall, just 17% said they approved of Congress' job performance, and 77% said they disapproved. Now, you go back to all the things that Donald Trump would say about Congress when he was president, and stuff that Trump was criticized for, and yet you look at this poll, and it bears out exactly what Donald Trump was telling us. And of course, it's no secret that Trump and McConnell had a huge falling out after the 2020 election and the riot at the Capitol, with the latter blaming the former for the incident. That didn't go down too well, and as we all know, Donald Trump knows how to hold a grudge. Former Obama advisor David Axelrod, a guy I never liked, but he is a political advisor. He's politically savvy, let's put it that way. Anyhow, he warned that Democrat efforts to prevent former President Trump from running in the 2024 presidential election risks tearing the country apart. Now, we all knew that, though, right? I mean, you don't need a political science degree to understand that's what's going to happen. Earlier in this podcast, I warned that this is going to be a very bad year. We're going to have a bad summer. We're going to have lots of riots across the country. This is one of the reasons. Because now, with this effort to block Trump from the ballot in so many states, and this is going to go on regardless of what the Supreme Court says. The Supreme Court eventually will rule on this. But there will be rioting, and it'll start on the left, but I think this time around, the right may also rise up. Anyhow, here's what Axelrod told CNN's Out Front host, Aaron Burnett. He says, I have very, very strong reservations about all of this. I do think it would rip the country apart if he were actually prevented from running because tens of millions of people want to vote for him. I think if you're going to beat Donald Trump, you're going to probably have to do it at the polls. Correct. 100% correct. Now, Axelrod served as Obama's senior advisor from 2009 through 2011, and he went on to explain how the Democrats' lawfare strategy is playing into Trump's hands, given part of his platform resting on exposing the corrupt bureaucracy, the swamp, that's weaponizing government power to target him and his supporters. Now, we all have seen this firsthand. You could even be living under a rock, and you still know that this is happening. I mean, when you have parents being arrested, God-loving parents, life-affirming parents, arrested in the wee hours of the morning by FBI SWAT teams in front of their kids because they voiced support that was pro-life in nature. Don't try to tell me that this isn't weaponization of the DOJ, and then by default, the FBI. It's happening. We all know this. So Axelrod said a lot of the motivation for Trump's candidacy was as a legal defense strategy. He wanted to set up a construct which says that they're coming after him because he's running for president and they're trying to prevent him from being president. Now, this is the connotation that they, the left, wants to build, that this is all selfish on the part of Donald Trump's political attitude. They're doing this to me. They're doing this to me. But it's like that meme that went viral here a couple of years ago. It was a black and white meme, and it was a picture of Donald Trump looking right at you. He's sitting in a chair, leaning forward, and he's looking right at you. And he said, "They're not after me. They're after you. I'm just in their way." Couldn't have been said any better. And then Axelrod further complained that the Democrats' political experiment of repeating or repeatedly indicting Trump ahead of the elections only fueled his momentum, and it has. He says, "We've run this experiment. He's only gained since he started getting indicted. What you thought might be kryptonite for him has turned out to be battery packs, and this is a big one for him. All of this is strengthening him in the Republican primary." And of course, this comes just recently after Maine's radical left Secretary of State, Sheena Bellows, who can't find her ass with both hands and a GPS, unilaterally removed Trump from the state's 2024 presidential primary ballot. She has no law degree. She has no real experience in either political affairs or political office. And this gal just, I'll bet you she was just following her own political biases in doing this. And this is going to kill her public service career. I'm pretty sure of that. Anyhow, just watch. It's going to be a very bumpy ride. To the Comedy Corner with Dustin Nickerson.
Yes, I am a comedian, even though I know I look like I was sent from the city to shut this down. I know I have strong narc energy to me. I know that some kids grow up and want to be Batman, not me. I was Commissioner Gordon the whole time. That's my vibe. Thank you guys for being here. This is a treat. My name is Dustin. I'm 36. I'm not handling my 30s very well because I'm realizing 30s is not old, but it is almost old. Like, you're right there, you know? And some of you are in your 30s, you're like, "That's not true. I'm still young." Yeah, the first stage of grief, denial. You'll come along. It's not. You got a little young in you and a little old. You're in transition, you know? Like, I still get excited about concerts, but I also get excited about Kohl's cash. I'm in transition, you understand me? And everything changes. You can get hurt doing anything in your 30s. Anything is dangerous. I played basketball once a week. I texted a friend my age, and I said, "Hey, are you going to be here this week?" And he said, "No." I threw out my back, and I said, "How?" And he said, "Folding a sheet." And I wasn't surprised. I was mad at him because we needed the numbers. I was like, "Come on, man, you're 36. You know you can't be doing that by yourself anymore. You free soloed a sheet. Are you insane? You need a spotter for that kind of action." Everything about health becomes much more challenging. That's what it is. And even your goals change, you know? Like in your 20s, you say things like, "I want to look hot naked." And in your 30s, you're like, "I want to look pretty good dressed." I'm not trying to get in good shape. I'm trying to get in a shape that nobody comments on. That's all. It's hard. Like, I work out a lot. Ta-da! This took a lot of effort. I'm disappointed, too. I asked my wife, I was like, "Honey, I work out all the time. Does it even look like a workout?" She goes, "You know, it looks like you work out, but, like, also that you never miss a cheat day." All right. That's accurate, but hurtful. I had a friend, I asked him, like, "Hey, man, well, all my gyms are closed, you know, the pandemic of gyms are closed. What do you recommend I do?" And he texted me, and he goes, "You know what, for a guy like you..." Already insulting. He's like, "You know, you can just do a lot of body weight exercises." That's so mean when you think about it. Dude, you are so out of shape if you just lifted your arm. That's all I I need from you. And don't overdo it. If that's too much, use your other arm to do it. Bend at the knees, buddy. I think what it is you kind of like get turned off by like the people who get overly preachy about their diets, because it's not one diet. We all know what dieting really is. Every day, we all have to make a choice. Am I going to eat healthy or am I going to be happy?
That'll do it. Make it a terrific Tuesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
Tomorrow, G-Man.